Thank you to everyone who helped with the service today, and also thank you to the shirt lifts who helped put up the lights. So I really appreciate that. I'm continuing the series on sharing the gospel. And when I was in seminary, I worked predominantly as a security guard for General Motors in Everton. And it can be an exciting and unusual thing to be a security guard sometimes. I'm going to share a couple interesting stories from security guards. I work food service in an amusement park. One day, a guy snuck in the back of the store and stole a box of barbecue sauce packets, thinking it was a box of wine, which was kind of strange, considering both that we didn't sell wine and that it clearly said barbecue sauce on every side of the box. When a security guard, who I happened to be friends with, caught up with him, he denied he did anything. The good news was we got our sauce back. He got a year-long ban from the park and public intoxication charges. A man repeated the story that happened to his father, a security guard at an art museum. Once he was making his rounds and caught a kid, probably about 7 years old, standing extremely close to one of the paintings, giving it a kind of hypnotized stare. Slowly, the kid leaned in and began to stick his tongue out, inching closer and closer to the painting. Baffled, my dad had closed in on him and yells out, "Hey!" The kid jolts his head towards him, turns back to the painting, gives it a monstrous lick, and books it out of the museum. Nobody caught him. I'm sure as a boy, if anyone had brought me to an art museum, I probably would have done the same thing. It can be a challenge to be a watchman. Ezekiel means God will strengthen. That is such a powerful name. He was one of the great prophets, the son of a priest. Ezekiel was one of the Jewish exiles who settled in the land of the Babylonians. The Babylonians probably carried him away captive around 597 BC as part of the Babylonian captivity. His prophetic call to him came in the fifth year of Jehoiakim's captivity, 594 BC. Ezekiel had a house in his place of exile where he lost his wife in the ninth year of his exile by some sudden and unforeseen circumstances. Even the Lord's most faithful servants will suffer in this life. Imagine Texas falling to a foreign power. Now, it's not going to happen, but imagine it. And then being taken hostage to North Korea. On top of that, losing your spouse once you get to North Korea. That was the kind of experience that Ezekiel had. It's kind of hard for us to imagine it as Americans. But Ezekiel was faithful to God even in the midst of suffering. He held a prominent place among the exiles, and the elders frequently consulted Ezekiel. His ministry extended over 25 years, during part of which he was a contemporary with Daniel and Jeremiah, and probably also with Obadiah. This is in the same period when Jeremiah would write Lamentations about crying by the Kishon River, mourning over the loss of Israel and Jerusalem. The Israelites endured instability and oppression and were scattered throughout the Middle East. In this passage, God gives the prophet Ezekiel the task of being a watchman for Judah. The main point of this commission is that Ezekiel would deliver God's message and warnings faithfully and truthfully. Remember, in the Old Testament, the false prophets were the ones who always told the king, "It's going to work out fine, your kingdom's going to prosper, nothing's ever going to happen." It was the faithful ones who were willing to call a spade when they needed to. A sobering element of this calling is the knowledge that when Ezekiel neglects to share the Lord's warning for Judah's wickedness, he will share in the responsibility. Ezekiel alone among the prophets is called a watchman. not merely to sympathize, but to give timely warning of danger from the people. The repetition implies that it's not enough to warn once in passing, but that the warning is to be continual. We also see that in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy 4:2, to be faithful in and out of season, and in Acts 20:31, night and day with tears. We have a responsibility to share the truth. I know of a couple who quit attending a church when the pastor told him that God is a God of justice and not only loves people, but also judges people. Yes, the Lord is a God of love. Yes, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Yes, the Lord is full of grace, hope, and truth. The loving thing for Ezekiel to do is to warn the people. The loving thing for us to do is to share the gospel. This passage should shake us as Christ followers out of our slumber. We too are watchmen and watchwomen. We have a message of salvation to deliver, and some responsibility lies on the messenger who neglects to give the message. God's message is one of mercy to those who accept his word. What was the role of the watchman in the ancient world? Why would God use this term with Ezekiel? The watchman guarded a city's walls to warn of incoming danger. If the gate didn't go up, if the walls weren't shut, if everything wasn't secure, they would be at terrible risk to an invader. One of the most important jobs that anyone could have. Our sharing of our faith is a divine responsibility to offer the free gift of Jesus Christ to the world. If someone is about to be hit by a bus, the loving thing to do is to warn them. If someone is about to hunt illegally on your ranch, the loving thing to do is to warn them before shooting them. The merciful thing is to call the police and leave them unharmed. Speaking positive words to someone doesn't help when a bus is about to hit them or they trespass on a ranch. Do you see yourself in this group of watchmen and watchwomen? Is there a role for you among those who watch today's world and yearn to make it better? Putting a number of scriptural commands and principles together, it becomes clear that today's Christians shoulder this responsibility. Paul also talks about it in Romans when he said that we are called, that we are God's messengers. We share in the role of standing vigil, of standing watch. And for example, when Jesus was placed in the tombs, if any of the centurions would have been caught sleeping, that would have been death. We are to be watchmen and women. We are our brother's keeper. The question asked of Cain, that we are to be the keepers for the poor, for the widow, for the orphan, for those who do not yet know Jesus. We take the responsibility of being ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're a member of God's family. We've been adopted into his family. We are God's friends, and we are God's ambassadors. When people see us, they see a reflection of what God is like. Cain was supposed to be his brother's keeper. We are our brothers and sisters and neighbors and even enemies' keepers. Notice that we share the grace and love of Christ on his behalf and not on ours. He's the head of the church and we are his representatives. An ambassador represents another person. Randy Alcorn has this to say about meeting needs and telling others about Christ. I ask God to give me divine appointments wherever I go and prompt me to see needs that I can meet. I want prayer to be an adventure in which I enter God's presence and become absorbed with him. Just as we need to hear from God in his word, we need to talk to him to communicate. Communication is two-way. Randy makes an excellent point. Prayer and the Bible are essential. And also, life with God is meant to be an adventure, a great journey. And we do not have to be perfect to be watchmen. A fire started in a field close to a farm. The county fire department rushed to the scene, but the fire was more than they could handle. Someone suggested calling the volunteer fire department. Despite some doubt that they would be of any assistance, they were called. The volunteers arrived in a dilapidated old fire truck. They rumbled straight towards the fire, drove right into the middle of the flames, and stopped. And they got out and extinguished most of the flame from within the flame. As a farmer watched all of this, he was impressed and grateful that his house and farm had been safe. He quickly got his checkbook and donated $1,000 to the volunteer fire department. A local news reporter asked the volunteer fire captain how they planned to use the funds. The captain replied, "The first thing we're going to do is fix the brakes on our truck." We are watchmen for God's people. Notice that Ezekiel is called a watchman for the nation of Israel. He's not a watchman for his own gain. Ezekiel's called to serve God and others. We are blessed to be a blessing. We're given love to share it. We're given hope to share it. We're given the gospel, the words of life, to share it. In Corpus Christi, customers at a Bank of America ATM thought they were being pranked. Instead of cash, their withdrawals produced muffled sounds and a handwritten note reading, "Please help." Eventually, someone called the police, who were just as befuddled. Sure enough, we can hear a little voice coming from the machine. A visibly amused officer, Richard Olden, told KRIS Radio, "So we're thinking that this is a joke. It's got to be a joke." An officer kicked down a door to free the repairman inside, who had accidentally trapped himself in the ATM while changing a lock. Fortunately, someone was on the lookout for the repairman. It is our responsibility to care for those around us. It is our duty to tell them about Jesus and to live out our beliefs. The Lord has given Ezekiel his words. A prophet shares the word of the Lord. We share scripture, and we're also called to live it out. Ezekiel did not rely on his own intelligence, his own strength, or his own wisdom. He relied on the Lord. A preacher must share the truth of God and rely on scripture. A Bible study teacher must share the truth of God and rely upon scripture. If I was to preach anything other than the gospel of Christ, listen to the gospel and not to me. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. The good news is that God does not depend on our own abilities. The Lord depends on our faithfulness and obedience. If you aren't good at talking to people, that's not a problem. The Father can use any of us to share His love and His truth. And we can all pray that God will send out more workers for the harvest. This is a matter of life and death. This is of vital, eternal significance. We're not responsible for the results, but only for sharing the message. Ezekiel faithfully shared the message of the Lord. We also have no idea how much of an impact we're making in people's life. Jesus talked about giving just a cup of cold water, sharing our lives, living out Christ in us. We may plant seeds and not harvest. We may harvest but not be planting the seeds. We're all the Lord's servants, and the responsibility is to be faithful. We cannot change the hearts and minds of our family, our friends, our coworkers, or strangers. Only the Lord can transform people. We're the Lord's instruments, the Lord's tools. But all glory goes to the Father. We read in 2 Corinthians that we are but jars of clay to show that this all-consuming power is from God and not from us. We're the ambassadors, the fishermen, the fisherwomen, the tools in the master's hands. And if you're like me and you've gone out fishing, some days you catch nada. Some days those fish see you and just laugh at you. And then some days things are good. And then crappie after crappie, or perch after perch, or catfish after catfish, or bass after bass comes into your boat. John Piper wrote about our reliance on the Holy Spirit, how much more we may depend on Him. Jesus' promise is that the Holy Spirit will teach us what we ought to say. This is not meant to free us from anxiety in only one kind of trial and then leave ourselves anxious in another. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will help us in the most frightening situations. And so much more may we depend on Him in less threatening situations. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit of God has set up the temple within us, and the Holy Spirit is with us, empowering and loving us. One of the reasons I want you to enjoy this particular work of the Holy Spirit, as I found it so true and amazing and precious in my own life. If you're talking to someone about Jesus, know that the Holy Spirit is with you. Know that our obedience in sharing and glorifying God pleases the Lord. Jesus promises that our obedience will result in rewards in eternity. We will cast our crowns before the King. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're only responsible for obedience. We can invite people into our homes for a meal. Go with them to a community event. Help them with their ranch. Go and meet the needs of people at the mission, or do so many other activities with them. We can share our venison or give away our old clothes, invite them to hunt, invite them to fish, invite them to play golf, invite them to shop. We just live life with them. This is a serious responsibility. Grace is not cheap. Jesus' life paid for our grace. And the Lord calls us to sacrifice for Him. The Lord calls us to share the free gift of salvation. Discipleship and witnessing is not just the work of pastors and evangelists. Jesus calls us to minister to the world, to influence other people for Christ. In the parable of the talents, Jesus spoke about two of the servants being obedient, and the Lord blessed them according to what He had given them. But one of those servants was a wicked servant and just buried what the Lord had given him. In His parable of the talents, Jesus taught that we must use our gifts wisely. A talent was a very large sum of money, about 80 pounds of silver. Before leaving on a journey, a wealthy man entrusted his fortune to his servants for the time that he would be away. Two of the servants used the money wisely to earn income for their master. However, the third servant did not put the money to good use. The master represents God in this parable, and the servants represent us. The English word talent, meaning our natural abilities, is derived from the parable. That is fitting because the lesson of the parable is that we must use our talents and abilities as well as our wealth in God's service. If we do not use our gifts wisely, God will consider us to be lazy. What does the parable of the talents have to do with what I'm talking about today? Jesus in the Great Commission, and one of the final things that He would say to the church, ordered His church to share the good news with the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He wasn't just talking to the disciples. The disciples couldn't get to the ends of the earth. He's talking to each and every one of us. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest unto your souls." The way to find rest is to lose our burden at the cross and allow Christ to put his burden and his yoke upon us instead. Freedom is not found in discarding Christ. Freedom is found in losing our own burden. And isn't it beautiful that any burden that God gives us, God can see us through it? And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be with us wherever we go. We cannot share the love of Christ with others unless we have a personal relationship with Him. If you are unsure that you have a relationship with God, please come and speak with me. Jesus stands at the door and knocks on your heart. The Holy Spirit draws men and women to Jesus. Jesus died so that we might be redeemed, so that we might be transformed. If you have any prayer needs, please feel free to pray here. If you want to be baptized or join our church, I am here for you. Whatever commitment you wish to make, I am here to support you. And now for today's benediction. As people of faith, we have gathered for worship. As people of faith, we now return to our homes. We go out to live and share the story of faith, the story of life with the world around us. We share the faith in word and in deed, in speech and in action. As we go out to give a living witness, as we go out to testify to God's love active in the world, go knowing that God goes with us, sharing the laughter and the hope, the fears and the tears. We go in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.